Good morning. Thank you for being here this morning. Appreciate your faith. If you're disciples of Jesus Christ, thank you for being a brother and sister. If you're not a disciple of Jesus, we'd like to help you to understand who you are. God created you with a certain identity. He loves you and wants to have you live with Him in eternity. Can you believe that? Whatever your name is, insert your name right there. God wants you to be there. And if we can help you to understand what your good God wants you to know, please get with us. And we'd be glad to think about these things, about eternal life. It's good to see the Bakers here as well. What a trial they have had in the last few months, and trying to get through their difficulties. It's good to see all that are here. And the difficulties that you face, I know, are many, and I appreciate the fact that you keep your struggles alive. In the back, on the back table, I have assembled the yearly clippings of all the bulletin clippings of Brotherhood of the Churches here, struggles, our sicknesses, deaths, or whatever. I would appreciate if you would pick up a copy for prayer purposes, to either to say thank you to God for things that He obviously said yes to, and also perhaps some things that are ongoing that you need to be aware of. And also, if you look through this list and Denny overlooked you, please let Denny know, I didn't mean to, I will fix that. Or if I've got something wrong, please let me know. But I want to do this every year to keep up with the needs of this church as far as prayer is concerned. So if you can keep this copy with you, and you can spend some time in prayer. And also, don't forget the blue form for members here. That is a preacher status form, and what kind of impact is Denny having upon you, and what would you like to hear Denny talk about, preach? What would you like to hear preached on here in the next few weeks or months? And also, not to forget that you want a new preacher. So that's all very, very important. I bring that up because I have decided I will never spin my wheels in a church. If I'm not having an impact on a church, I'll let another man try. And for the good of that church, I will move forward. And I want to be a man that will have as high of an impact as possible on a church. So I will go somewhere where I can have a high impact as well. So this is what this is all about. And appreciate your honest opinion. As far as I'm concerned, I'm enjoying our work together so far. We're just getting to know each other, I believe. It really takes 2 to 3 years before you really get to that point. We're kind of strangers. I'll admit, it takes a while before the work actually, you know, you absorb it into your mind and heart compared to another church that you've been a part of maybe for years. And this is true for a lot of people, even coming to be members of a church, not the preacher necessarily, but members. It takes a while. And so just to let you know, I'm enjoying the process. I love this church very, very much, and appreciate those of you that are, again, facing your struggles and you're moving forward in your faith. I appreciate that very, very much. Well, God is here. We want to remember He's here this morning. And let's be remembering the great joy that we should have. I'd love to see joy on your face. Perhaps you have some difficulties you're facing right now and you're trying to get through those things. I can appreciate that, but I would love to have joy exuding from you when I come to meet with you on the Lord's Day. It's a very, very important thing. How blessed we are to have salvation. How can I have salvation from my God? Let's be praying for saints throughout the world, and let's be praying against the evils of the world, remembering the power that God has given us in prayer. Let's use this opportunity. Well, we have about, I'm trying to make 20 minutes left in our hour here, but I have a lot to say. And I would like for us to think about the Church of Jesus Christ. Yeah, the Church of Christ, and what that's all about. And so we're going to run through some things, and I would like to encourage you, if you're a disciple, you know these things well, think about your appreciation of your God, your Savior, who has brought you into the saved body. Think about your role before Him and your responsibility not to be the wallflower we were talking about in a Bible study, but to be active in your role as a Christian. But if you're not a Christian, you're not a member of Jesus' body, I hope that you will pay close attention to these things that we will talk about, because the truth is your God is trying to draw you back into a relationship with Him. And you might not even know what that means, but He's just trying to draw you into His arms and draw you into eternity so that you will live with Him in great love, going back and forth forever. Please pay close attention. The Church of Jesus Christ, you know, our problem is we're sinners. We've all sinned. We've talked about that spiritual cancer and how ugly that is. It's not pretty. If we could see sin for what it is from God's standpoint, I have a feeling we'd be vomiting. Okay, we would not be pleased. It's not a pretty sight. And you know what? We've all sinned, haven't we? That's every single one of us. And we know that these sins will separate us from God. Isaiah 59, your iniquities. You've broken the law of God, iniquity with lawlessness. Your iniquities have separated you from your God. Your sins have hidden His face from you. We have a problem. It's our problem. We are sinners. We bring the corruption to ourselves. We bring the ugliness into our souls. We're the ones that decide to sin. We divorce ourselves from God. It is our problem, isn't it? We have a huge problem. We have a huge problem as sinners, right? Don't under-evaluate what a sin is. A sin is a horrible thing that God says, I have no choice but to send you away from me. That's how horrible sin really is. And you have that problem. And I do too. But here's God. He has a dilemma. He could just punt if He wanted to. He could punt humanity and say, you know, it's fourth down, and I don't think there's any hope for humanity. I think I'm just out of here. It's time to go to another universe somewhere, make another one, and start over again. But the problem is here that God loves us. Because He loves us, He's trying to get us back to Himself. He made us to love us. Is He just going to walk away from us, or does He want to bring us in back into relationship with Him? Well, God so loved the world. That means something, John 3:16. It means He loved you. It means He wants you back. It means you're guilty of filthy, rotten, ugly junk, and God says, yeah, you're guilty of all that. Now I want to clean you up and get you back to me. Because the bottom line is, 1 John 4:8, God is love, and God loves the world, every occupant within it, and He's trying to get us back to Him. Here's the dilemma. And so God is trying to call us back to Him. The call is out there. In fact, 1 Thessalonians 2:12, He asks the Thessalonians to walk worthy of God who calls them unto the kingdom. And here is God calling these Christians. You know, He's calling these people, come to Him. That's the idea. God is calling us to come back to Him. And that this has to bear upon what we're talking about as far as the church is concerned. Because you know what the church is? The church is the called out. That's what the word means. Called out. So God is calling us to leave the world. And then God did something so that there could be a called out body of people. And that's what the church is. Acts 2:47, the Lord added to the called out. They were accepting the call. God bringing back His people. What a day of joy and smiles that must have been for the Lord as people are accepting His call to come back. And as they're doing it, they're called out of the world, called unto God, and they're a part of God's called out body known as the church. So here's God's called out. Now this is all due to Jesus. The work was done by Jesus in His life, death, burial and resurrection. Jesus was the platform, is the platform in all things for the church. But we want to remember that Jesus built His church. The church was not an afterthought. Jesus didn't come here to do something and He failed. That's popular doctrine, by the way, today. And He did something else and He'll do something later then as a result because He failed. No, Jesus came here to do something. Matthew 16:18, He said to Peter, you are a rock, you're Peter, and upon this rock, Jesus Christ, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. Here's how great this called out body will be. Let Satan do whatever he wants against it. and Satan will not prevail, and I will build this saved body of people. I will build this called out body. That's what the church is. And let's understand something up front. Jesus was going to build this church, and Jesus has a church that is his church, his obedient people who have accepted his call and done his will to become that called out body. Now, as we go to the past, we know that this church is known by different things. We're going to see that here through the process, but we know it was a prophesied church. God planned to create this body. We sinned. God did not sit idly by. God built the process, and he executed. God prophesied many times about many things, about the salvation message and about the salvation plan. Isaiah chapter 2 and verses 2 through 4, there would be the mountain of the Lord's house that would be established, and it would be at Jerusalem. All things line up with Jerusalem and the establishment of his church, the establishment of his kingdom in the hearts of men, the establishment of the mountain of the Lord's house. These are all the same entities, by the way. It's all the same thing. The prophecy said that this house would be established. Joel 2 and verses 28 through 32 says that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that was looking forward to the establishment of this kingdom and of this called out body. Because in Acts, the second chapter, when the preaching of this called out body takes place based on Jesus Christ, we have there the remission of sins to whoever will call, whoever will come to God. This was a message to anybody who wants to come to God. They can come be the called out and leave the world of sin. In Daniel, the second chapter, verse 44, there would be we've talked about this, no big time period here to take a lot of time to think about it, but here is this kingdom of God that would be made without hands that he would establish in the days of the fourth kingdom, in the days of the Roman Empire. And this is a kingdom that the God of heaven would set up. He would set it up and it would never be destroyed. And he's talking about that very kingdom that is the body of Jesus Christ, his saved people, the called out, his kingdom, the house of God. It was all according to prophecy. And God said, of course, he would accomplish this. He said, I'm going to send my king. I'm going to install my king. I'm going to build my kingdom. Psalm 2 and verse 6, I have set my king on my holy hill, was the prophecy. And God can talk like that. I have done this, and I will. He can talk that any way he wants to, because when he says he's going to do it, it's going to happen. That's just simply the way that is going to be. And so it is in Acts, the second chapter, and verse 47. Here we have, you know, I realize very skeleton here, but we have all of this coming to fruition. As Peter gets up and he preaches the gospel of Jesus Christ, volume 2 to the book of Luke, of the life and death of Jesus, Peter gets up in the book of Acts, and he preaches the gospel, he teaches people about Jesus, and the Lord added to the church daily. To the church. What's the church? It's the called out. Were they accepting the call of that day? Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. They were accepting the call. They were becoming the called out. They were being added to that church. And who was doing the adding? Was it a man-made thing? God was doing the adding. Because whose church is it? It's Jesus' church. It's Jesus' body. It's God's church. God does the adding. So here's a prophesied church, and here's the fruition of Acts, the second chapter, which is this church coming into being. And on that day, people could be baptized into Jesus Christ. They could have their sins taken away. They could put on the hope of eternal life. We'll talk more about that here in just a minute. But meanwhile, we have some things that the Scripture shows us regarding Jesus and his church. These things are very important for us to understand. We know, of course, I've heard too much in the past that, wow, you need to be, you know, in the church. You need to get back to church. You need to be church, church, church. You know, well, yeah, that's true. Let's not forget first things first, though. Am I in love with the church, or am I in love with Jesus Christ? I'm in love with Jesus Christ. And what is the church? The church is his tool. You see, we come to love our God. We come to love Jesus, and we obey him, And then we enter into his tool. We enter into the called out, saved body. And we have salvation. But Jesus Christ is the centerpiece of everything, right? The church is his way of salvation, but the church is not the centerpiece. Who's the centerpiece? God is the centerpiece. And the tool is his church. And it says in Acts 20, verse 28, that he purchased the church of God with his own blood. And this all makes sense, doesn't it? He calls us to himself. His son came and paid the price for our sins so that our sins can be washed away. We can, on obeying Jesus, leave the world, leave our sin, come to God and become the called out. It all comes together, doesn't it? It all makes sense. But Jesus Christ died for his church. He loves his church. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Well, if we think of that truth, husbands, we kind of climb under the pews right now, don't we? Husbands, today you'd better love your wife like Jesus loves the church. When? Right now. You better do it. This is what Paul is telling us, but it's based upon Jesus Christ loves his church. How does he feel about us? Does God love the people that have come to him? He loves us all. But are we very special to God, those that have accepted his call and become the called out? Are we something very, very special to him? Yes. We are the ones that will visit eternity with him. We are the ones that will be his tools in the forever. We are the ones that will see his love in action and his grace in action. We are the ones that are his. His what? His children. We are his children. Jesus loves us. God loves us. He loves his church, and the church is his. Aren't we glad that man does not design a way to be saved? Humans like to try to do that, and they get away from God. Listen, when we talk about the church, we're talking about Jesus' church. The church of Christ. The church of Jesus Christ. And by the way, that's not an official title, is it? What is it? It's a description of what is. We talk about the church of Christ, Christ's church, Jesus Christ's church. What are we talking about? We're talking about the called out way that Jesus died for. We're talking about the body of people that Jesus Christ gave himself on a cross for. This is the church. And we realize that Jesus bought the church with his own blood. You know, he paid a pretty stiff price for the church. It cost him a lot. You know, the old saying, man, it's going to cost you an arm and a leg if you're going to go that direction and buy something. It cost Jesus more than an arm and a leg. Jesus lived and Jesus died for us. The church is his church. He possesses it. He bought it. He built it. And guess what the church then should be doing? If it's his church, and he's the builder, architect, executor of all things in the plan, I wonder if the church should be obedient to his ways. Of course. And thus he's the head of the church, Colossians 1:18. And if he loves us, he's going to nourish us and cherish us, just like you husbands should be doing in Ephesians 5 about your wife. Even so, Jesus is going to nourish us. If we'll let him, he'll feed us. He'll take care of us. He will make us strong. Our faith will become strong. We'll get through this life, and we will be like a brother and a sister who've gone this year from us, who will lay their head down for the last time, and it's okay to close your eyes and to lift your eyes upon your God. Jesus wants to nourish us to that point, and he will if we let him, because he's our God trying to build us. We know there are different descriptions of the church. Chosen generation. Chosen. Royal priesthood. We offer sacrifices to God. We are our own priests, if you will. I'm my own priest to my God through my high priest, Jesus Christ. We are a holy nation, separate from the world, thus the called out. Called out from the world to God, we are a holy nation like God, separate from the lifestyle and the sins of the world. And we are that special, special people. 1 Peter 2 and verse 9. The word kingdom is used. Revelation 1 verses 5 and 6. He made us to be kings and priests. We rule with Him in His kingdom. We're in the house of God. 1 Peter 2 and verse 5. We are in Christ. What better way to describe our relationship? But we are in Christ. It's not just a geographical location. It is to abide in who He is, to have His mind in us and our mind in our God. And that's how we live. We are in His body. He's the Savior of the body, Ephesians 5:23. And we are the church. All of these terms, they're different terms, aren't they? And they all describe something a little bit differently, but they all describe what? The same entity of saved people of God. Called out people, people in the house of God, people in the kingdom of God, people in the holy nation of God. This is all the same thing as far as our view of what church, what Jesus' church is. Saved people under God. How blessed are we, by the way? If you're a Christian in the church of the Lord, how blessed are you? Look at this chart. How blessed are you? What are you? You're a royal priesthood. Are you important to your God? What are you? A special people. You're in the house of God. You mean you get to live under the household leadership where God is your Father and live in His house? Yeah. Thank you, Lord. And the other question is, if you're not in the church of the Lord, wow, what are you in? You're in none of this. None of this has to do with you, because actually you have two churches that exist. You have the church of Christ, and you have the what? You have the church of Satan. And some seemingly good people can be part of that church of Satan because they don't truly obey God. This is for the obedient, those who truly obey God. There are various truths that are very important, and I don't think we have to look at a lot of these right now. Maybe to realize that the purpose of the church is to glorify God. The purpose of the church is to be with Jesus. Jesus will present the church to Himself someday. How wonderful, how beautiful. And it's in the church that we have ultimate victory. We go back to Matthew 16:18. This should be in your memory. It should be on your refrigerator or your bumper, wherever you want to put it. I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. God Almighty, who died on a cross for me, said those words. I'm going to build something, and I don't care who it is. They're not going to defeat me, and they're not going to defeat my people. The gates of hell itself cannot come against the people of God and find victory. We live in God, and you die in God. Thank you, Laura. Thank you, Brother Wilford. Thank you, those through the years that have gone on before us. Thank you for your faith. Here it is. I want to be a part of a body that has no enemy that can defeat it. Talk about choosing an undefeatable side beforehand. Before the game of death takes place, I get to choose the undefeatable side. Choose wisely. Remember that Indiana Jones movie, you know, and the choosing of the cups? And the individual that chose wrongly, and the prophet comes out of the back, and after the guy has disappeared and been blown to, you know, disappears and burns up to nothingness, after choosing the wrong cup, the prophet comes out, he says, he chose poorly. There is a poor choice you can make. And that is to die and to stand before God, having made the poor choice that you are not in the kingdom, in the church, in the called out of God. This is where life is. It's where you should be in your death as well. well, Jesus did all this. Do I have to do anything? Some say, no, you just stand there. Well, I think that if you start reading, you're going to discover some other things. Yes. What we do is very little compared to what God did, but He does expect us to do the same thing He did. God gave the totality of His heart to us. And what He expects is for us to give the totality of our hearts, though minuscule by comparison, to Him. The Scriptures teach that I need to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. John 3:16 teaches us, the Super Bowl wisdom, you all, you know, probably not going to see it next week. It's kind of, a bygone, but between the goalposts, here comes John 3:16. Praise be to the Lord. I'm glad John 3:16 appeared between the goalposts, you know. But if you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you will not perish, and that's the promise. Acts 3 and verse 19, repent and turn again that there might come seasons of refreshing from the presence of the Lord, your sins being blotted out. God will blot out your sins in your repentance. Romans 10, 9 and 10, there is a confession that is made with the mouth unto salvation. But we talk about baptism. All these things are part of a plan. Believe, let that move you forward to change your life, to confess fully who Jesus is, and then to be baptized into Jesus Christ. Baptism is a burial in water. Colossians 2:12, we have that idea of a burial. The very definition of the word means to immerse. Not hard to understand. But a lot of passages point us in the direction of the importance of baptism. These are a few. Galatians 3:26 and 27. As many as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. 1 Corinthians 12 and 13. Those who have been baptized by one Spirit. Are we all baptized into one body? Or baptized into the body? Acts 2 and verse 38. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the what? For the remission of your sins, to send away your sins. Be baptized in view of your faith in your Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 3 and verse 21, baptism does save you, he says. It will save you, based, of course, on Jesus. Romans 6 and verses 1 through 6. We have there in verses 3 and 4 the presentation of baptism as a burial, and that we are baptized into the death of Jesus Christ. And in that text, even as Jesus Christ was buried and Jesus Christ was raised to walk in the newness of life, that is, He would never die. He would never have to die again. He would die, He would be raised never to die again. Even so, we go down and we kill the old man and we are raised to walk in newness of life. We also never to die again, not talking about this whole body, but our spiritual lives with God. We are raised to a spiritual life with God. We're resurrected, if you will, brought to life, waiting then the bodily resurrection, which is a much minor resurrection compared to the resurrection of the Spirit, to be right with God. But they're both in the plan of God. When we are baptized, we duplicate what Jesus Christ did for us. You know, some people say, why is baptism so important? Oh, you believe in water salvation, don't you? No. Jesus Christ tells me to do something. He gave Himself for me, so I think I'm going to do it. He says, I want you to be baptized. In Romans 6, we're told you will do this because it's based upon what Jesus did for you. He went into a tomb and He rose from the dead. When you go into baptism, you go into under the water. You're buried into a tomb, if you will, and you are raised to walk in the newness of life. So my very entrance into a relationship with God is based on the very thing that Jesus Christ did for me to make all of this possible. And for that, I say, thank you, my God. All praise to my God for what He has accomplished for me. In Acts, the 8th chapter, Acts has several of these instances within it of conversion and baptism. But in Acts, the 8th chapter, we have Philip who went and joined with a man and taught him about Jesus Christ, it says. And as they were traveling, the man, having been taught about Jesus, said, here's water. What hinders me from being baptized? Somehow he knew he was supposed to be baptized. I wonder how that was. Because Philip had preached Jesus to him and what Jesus wanted him to do. And so Philip asked him, if you believe with all your heart, you can. He said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And they stopped the chariot. Somehow it's like the old sound effects in the old black and white movies. You know, even though they're on the sand, you hear the rubber hit, you know, the rubber sound, you know, it hits the road. You know, it's almost like I can hear that chariot right now, you know, screeching to a stop. Here's water. What hinders me from being baptized? And Philip took him down into the water, and he baptized him. And he arose, Philip went his way, and the eunuch went on his way rejoicing. I wonder why. Because he'd heard about the call of Jesus. He had listened to the call of Jesus. And now, what was he? Now he was the called out of Jesus. Now he was in the church of Jesus Christ. He was in relationship with his God. Yeah, he could go on his way rejoicing. There are many that will point at the growth of Christianity in Ethiopia and Egypt. Not long after this, they will point to the Ethiopian eunuch and say he must have been the reason. And I think it's very possible that he took this mission on personally and went and taught what he was excited about himself. But here's a man who came to salvation. Here's the truth. Jesus wanted to call us back to him, but he had to do a lot of work to create the way for that to happen. It wasn't enough to say the words, I'm calling you back, come on guys, accept the call. Jesus had to build the road to make it happen because we had destroyed the bridge, the road, and there was a giant pit that was there. Jesus came and Jesus lived and Jesus died and Jesus built his body, a saving body, so that whosoever could call on the name of the Lord, accepting the call of the Lord, and could become part of the called out by the Lord. Upon this rock, Jesus Christ, I will build my church. And Jesus did it through his great love, through his life, through his death, and through his resurrection. This is the Jesus that I love. Who here loves Jesus? Raise your hand if you love Jesus. Oh, we're asking for testimonials now, right? Oh, by the way, we're the church, what? Church of Christ. What does that mean? It means we're living after his ways. We are in his called out status. We want him to be king. We want him to be head of the body. We want him to call the shots in our lives. But we're in a body that recognizes him as king and knows that someday our king will lead us even through death itself, so that we will be resurrected and we can, as it were, laugh at death. Oh, death, where is your sting now? Oh, death, where is your victory as we're being resurrected? We can laugh at death as the Almighty God has proven himself in every way to be our Almighty Savior. And the day has come to leave the world. Finally, to be able to be with Lord God Almighty. Thank you, Lord. If you're a member of the Lord's church, have you praised your God today for what you have? But if you're not a member of the Lord's church, you don't have Jesus Christ's blood. You're not at a called out status as yet. You haven't come to your God. You need to be in the Lord's church. Maybe you're ready to do that. Let's have a Bible study. We can think about these things. We can move you towards what you need to do. But you can't just sit there. Life is too precious, and the possibility of death is too much of a risk to risk eternity. I'll do it tomorrow. I'll do it next year. You don't have a promise of the next minute. This is your opportunity. Let's think together. And I encourage you to make your choice towards your God. If you need to obey the Lord Jesus Christ, I hope that you'll think about this. Get your faith to moving you. Come to your Lord and find salvation. Why not obey Him right now? As together we stand and as we sing.